Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Holy Spirit that teaches us. Holy Spirit, you are here today, and we need your instruction. We thank you that Anna has prepared and Dolores has prepared, but Holy Spirit, we need your help to give us understanding. We're asking you to anoint their understanding as they share with us, and Father, that we can learn from these words that were spoken over the tribe of Asher and the tribe of Benjamin, Father, that they will benefit us in our life because your word does benefit us when we obey it. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, Miss Anna, you're ready.
Okay. Okay, good morning. My presentation is about Asher. Eight sons of Jacob and Silpah. Silpah was the maid servant of Leah, which Leah was Jacob's first wife. Mm-hmm. So Asher was born from Silpah, and he was the second son from Silpah. And who is Asher? The tribe of Israel were often identified with the personalities and character traits of their founders. So Asher was the founder of the tribe of Asher. Asher was characterized as happy, intelligent, intuitive, open to others, and a little bit impatient. He also was, the tribe of Asher was renowned for their wisdom. Hmm. Asher means happy or happiness.
Happy.
So the tribe of Asher was known to be the happiest of the 12 tribes. Hmm. This happiness partly came from the fact that they were also amongst the most prosperous of the tribes. They were described as enjoying all that life has to offer, particularly in terms of fine dining, even if that made them a little more wasteful than the other tribes. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you about the blessings of Asher. The part of these characteristics are based in the prophetic blessings of Asher, which is in Genesis 49:20. Before sending them out to settle different parts of the region, Jacob gave each of his sons a blessing that would define their future. Mm-hmm. Jacob described Asher as the most blessed son, saying that the land of Asher would have rich food and delicacies fit for kings. However, it's not the only blessing the tribe of Asher would receive. Moses also gave a blessing to each of the 12 tribes. Mm-hmm. Moses' blessing said that Asher would be blessed with sons, fleecing to his brothers, and have his food immersed in oil. And as you notice, the symbol of Asher is an olive tree, and then you see the olive oil and bread. So they were like, they have plenty of food and oil in the area. The territory of Asher is, Asher went to the area of, he was going towards Canaan. So I just want to tell you a little bit about the account of the tribe of Asher. So when they were going into the desert, they were like 41,000 because there was a census on the first, in the first day of the second year of the departure from Egypt. There was a count of the tribe of 41,000 members from the tribe of Asher. So they went through the desert, and then when they arrived at Canaan, Asher had 4 sons and a daughter. So he was blessed with blessed sons. So, and then I'm going to tell you that the land where, the territory where he was assigned is the territory of Asher is the first part of Moses' blessing, seems clearly that that it was consistent with Jacob's blessings of Asher as a tribe of prosperity. To understand the bit about a fool in oil, we need to look at the tribe's territory. The territory where he was located at was in the biblical account by Joshua. Joshua assigned Asher in the western and coastal Galilee region of low temperature, much rainfall, so it was most fertile land in Canaan, which has a rich pasture, wooded hills, and orchards. So Asher was particularly prosperous and known for its olive oil. The blessing of Moses appears to prophesy this allocation. So then this part of the territory makes it special because the climate was a little cooler, it was wetter, very fertile region. So his oil, his olive trees, and all that made him very prosperous in the oil business. Mm-hmm. This is why the tribe of Asher ate so well and was renowned for his good food, and also why the tribe ended to be so prosperous. They were living in the best part of the West Asia, so growing olives, and the tribe of Asher made its fortunes from olive oil, and the fact that's the symbol of the actual tribe of Asher, which is the olive tree. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you a little bit more about the part where they are also blessed in other ways. It says here that Asher, which means happiness, the tribe of Asher was one of the most blessed with male children, and his women were so beautiful, that's what the scholar says, that the priests and princes sought them in marriage. The abundance of oil in the land possessed by Asher was so enriched that none of them needed anything or higher habitation, and the soil was so fertile that in times of scarcity, and especially in the sabbatical year, and the seventh year, Asher provided all Israel with olive oil. So they were very prosperous. They were very, according to, in so many ways, the women, the children. So, and I'm going to continue with apparently, after they moved to Canaan and they were assigned these places, these territories, Asher was supposed to conquer and drive away the Phoenicians in that area where he was assigned, this prosperous place. But according to the scholars in the Bible, they kind of mingled together. He never actually drove them out of the of the area. So they stayed kind of together and they mingled, and they had different, that was not the plan intended by God. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to drive all the people and take possession of that land for himself. So when I was reading, I found out that maybe because he was a very gregarious person, he was very friendly, very happy, he liked to get along with people. So that's probably the reason, and he had all the riches anyway. That was a prosperous land. So he stayed there, and he just kind of mingled and got together with these people, and they were never, that was the Phoenicians and the Canaanites, at least in that region at that time. So when it comes to the tribe, they were like 41,000 when he first started, and then by what I read, according to some of the scholars that know much better than I do, they're saying that they didn't actually become a very organized tribe. It's mentioned in a few places in the Bible. It's not mentioned a whole lot, but they were never like became a very organized tribe, and they stay most likely in the region of the North region. They had some instances where there was some conflict in the area, and I'm just going to read it from the actual pages literally that I read. That it says that by the end of the book, the threat from the Philistine incursions, the Israelite tribes decided to form a strong centralized monarchy to meet the challenge, and the tribe of Asher joined the new kingdom with Saul as the first king. Mm-hmm. After the death of Saul, all the tribes were, other than Judah, remained loyal to the house of Saul mm-hmm. and followed his son, Ishbosheth. But after Ishbosheth died, the tribe of Asher joined the other northern Israelite tribes in making David, who was then the king of Judah, a king of the United Kingdom. So this is an instance where the actual tribe of Asher joined in with the other tribes to help them out. On the accession of Rehoboam, David's grandson, in 1930 before Christ, the northern tribe fled from the house of David to reform a kingdom of Israel as the northern kingdom. Asher was a member of the kingdom until the kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians in 723 before Christ, and the population deported. They just kind of fled or went away or something. From that time, the tribe of Asher has been counted as one of the 10 lost tribes. Mm-hmm. So that's what I read at the end of my study. So I just know that they had a census at one time of 41,000. Mm-hmm. Then they went to that area. And according to the study, the tribe of Asher, apparently, what I could tell, they didn't like a lot of conflict. They stayed by themselves. They enjoyed the life the way as they had it. Mm-hmm. They were very prosperous, and they kind of stayed away. There was a few times in the Bible they mentioned they did get into some kind of conflict and help their brothers, but at the end, they kind of mingled together with the other people in the area and kind of got dispersed for some reason, and then they are considered, and I don't know how true this is, they are one of the 10 lost tribes of mm-hmm. Israel. Mm-hmm. So I just to summarize what I can tell from Asher and the tribe of Asher, he was a person that has good manners. You think he had the good of it all, a spirit, he was a good guy. I'm sorry. In general, he was a good guy. He didn't like conflict. He was a very happy person. And in Revelation, they talk about the seal of the top tribe, and Asher actually received a seal, which he was one of the chosen of the top tribe. It's 12,000. So he actually, apparently, he was able that he was mentioned in a few times where he was in a few incidents when they didn't mention by name that he was involved with selling his brother Joseph to slavery, but he was part of the other brothers that went along with it. I guess he didn't want to have a conflict with the brothers. And then also they mentioned him when he had it was like a scuffle between him and the brothers when he said something about the incest of Reuben and Zilpah or the other lady. I don't remember her name right now, but he was involved in that duct tape, and then when they realized that he was telling the truth, they forgave him. So in general, I would say he didn't like conflict. He was a good guy. he tried to remain, you know, a servant of God and doing what he was supposed to be doing during that time. And God gave him the seal. He was rewarded for that. He was one of the 12 chosen ones at the end. So I really enjoyed the story. And if I have any, for any reason, I was not correct or a misclarification, of course, I'm not an expert and I do not know the Bible that well. I'm not a scholar, a Bible scholar. But if you need to clarify me or to correct me, go ahead. You're free to do that. But that is the end of my story. Thank
okay.
you.
And I have a question for you, Anna. Just what would you say, in your own words, that you personally learned by studying the tribe of Asher? What would you say that you learned?
Well, I learned actually that that I think being I learned that you don't have to follow exactly what the others do, just mm-hmm. be faithful and do the right thing. And I don't know if this is correct, but I know he received at the end the seal mm-hmm. and he was a very independent person, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He followed his heart. So I learned,
okay.
I mean, I don't know if I'm right, but it's kind of a little bit similar to me. In a way.
To you?
So.
That's what I thought too when you talked about entertaining.
I might be wrong or completely, but mm-hmm. I enjoyed the story because, you know, you apply. I don't know if it was the right thing for him not to kick the other people out. That's one thing that I questioned, why he didn't kick the other people and took possession completely of
yeah.
that area. And then why he stayed away for most part, and he kind of followed the northern part of the king
mm-hmm.
that were fighting at that time. So that's why I don't understand, but I think I learned that you can be a good person, do the right thing, and try to avoid conflict as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. Just basically.
I might not be fine. What do you think? Can you give me some insight?
Yeah, well, one of the things I thought was important, too, when Moses blessed him and said, your foot is dipped in oil, and you were talking about how they were rich in the land, the fertile land, and that got the main supplier of olive oil for Israel during their times of worship, you know, when olive oil was a key ingredient in bringing to the temple. In worship and sacrifices and gifts to God. And what I just brought away from it was that God blessed him with a purpose. God prospered him with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing that was spoken over him, and look, he didn't hoard that blessing. He shared it. God, mm-hmm. when God prospers you, it's for a reason. It's to be a blessing to others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Asher was. Asher was a blessing to the rest of the tribes, the rest of his brethren, because you said that he supplied all the olive oil for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had a lot of olives.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of olive trees, too. So
mm-hmm.
I just see that, you know,
yeah.
that sometimes we just can't look and see, you know, look and say that God just blessed me. He's going to bless you for a purpose. He's going to bless you for a reason to be a blessing to others. That's kind of one of the things I pulled away from, which is really good.
I learned that definitely he was a blessing to others.
Yes.
And he was enriched with all the oil that was necessary mm-hmm. for the temple and everything. So that tells me that even he was not a, you know, like in all this conflict, but he had a purpose. And
yes.
the purpose was to supply their needs. He was a rich person. He had all the oil and all the richness
mm-hmm.
and the territory actually was very plentiful and fruitful. So, in a way, of course, that was the major blessing, and that's
mm-hmm.
why the symbol is the tree. And actually,
yeah.
I learned that from the beginning. And that's probably the reason, actually, because he supplied and he was blessed that way.
Yes.
He received the seal at the end, because also because he was part of the tribe of Jacob, but the tribe of Israel, but also because he was, even though there was a few mysterious situations in the Bible that he participated, and he was not mentioned completely, but he had a good heart, and he was willing to share, and he was like, he always, I think I see him trying to avoid conflict and stay within his area, his limits. I know he helped his brothers at one point, but he was a man with a good heart, and and he said he kept it together. He kept the brothers together.
Amen. He was a second born. You said he was a second born to Jacob, huh?
He was
He was the second born of the handmaiden. Well, you did a good job, Anna.
Yeah.
You did a very good job. We can tell you got very involved in that. You did a lot of research, and we appreciate it. And that's very helpful.
Like I said,
very helpful.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not a scholar, but I tried my best. And, you know, it's like you said, the bottom line is that he was a good asset for the whole Israel when
that's
it comes
right.
to the oil and providing whenever they were, like, in need during those 7 years. So it was great. I was happy to be able to learn a little bit more about it.
Good.
You know, even though they don't mention that much, of Asher, I could tell, but there was a very important instance where he was mentioned.
Great. Well, we're going to go on to the tribe of Benjamin. What we're learning from all this, the reason that we're studying this, you know, he jump started when Jane and Mike gave us the banner from Israel with the 12 tribes, but that we as a body of Christ can learn from these God's chosen people. Their ups and downs, their mistakes are good, and, you know, we can learn from that. All the Word of God is given to correct us, for reproof, correction, edification, to build us up. So that's good. I mean, what you did today was very insightful and helpful. As far as knowing when God blesses us, it's not to be stingy with it, it's to give to others. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Anna. If you want to stay with us, that would be great. We're going to go on to Miss Dolores. Amen. Mr. Lawrence is going to do the tribe of Benjamin. You're welcome to stay with us. Thank you.
I'm going to go solo. Thank you.
Can I borrow your glasses? I can't find mine. Thank you. I can't find my glasses. Okay, we are at the tribe of Benjamin. And Benjamin, I'm going to give you scriptures. Because if I sit down and tell you about the scriptures, then it takes too long. So I'm going to give you scriptures. The first is Genesis 35. And then the location, small portion of the land that Benjamin's captured in Jerusalem. Jacob. Blessing and Benjamin is Benjamin was a ravenous wolf. It means in the morning he devours the prey, and in the evening he divides it among all the brethren. Them they plunder. Genesis. That is Genesis 49. And the 37. The blessings, let the beloved of the Lord rest in him, for he sheds all day long. Deuteronomy 33:12. That means if you want to study the details of them. All right, let I rest here so I can go over the meaning of Benjamin. Son of the right hand, symbol wolf, stone color amethyst and purple, family 12 of Jacob's born to Rachel. Rachel named him, named Benjamin, Ben, O son of my sorrows. That means Rachel was dying. All right, Rachel was dying, and she named him Ben-Ohan, a son of my sorrows, and in childbirth. But Jacob, the father, renamed him Benjamin, son of the right hand, which indicates a favored son. Genesis 35:18. The Lord will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. Is Isaiah 41 and the 10th verse. So let's read Isaiah 41 and the 10th verse and hear what it said by Isaiah 41. Never prepared. All right, Isaiah 41. The 10th verse said, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of righteousness." What a promise. What a promise the Lord promised to Benjamin. That means any weary is and any cry, God hear him. I have another one from Isaiah, but to come. For the Lord God, I just gonna read 10 and 11 and 12, okay? Mm-hmm. I read 10 already. "Behold, they that were increased against thee shall be ashamed and comforted. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. But thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." That's a promise.
Yes, it is.
It is a promise from God. And you know, Isaiah, we at Sister State, we were studying Isaiah, and they cut it off. But what I say, we should know Isaiah because all Jacob's children are in Isaiah. The whole of Isaiah is when they're disobedient, and the Lord show Isaiah to go and warn them of the disobedient. Even the coming of Jesus, when in Isaiah, remind me, either 45 or 43, when he said he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement was on him. But he opened not his mouth. That Isaiah was telling them about the Lord. Last night I read some of it, but the names them to call is not an easy job.
No.
But we can go back to studying Isaiah, Kathy, and see what the Lord said. All these are God's blessed, these men, what I look into. All these men are powerful men sent by God from one father. Two mother, but one father. And he blessed all of them. And if you, and then I have the book in my hand, because if you read it, the book, it will tell you that even in James going down, there are people born from Benjamin, that there, and James was written right in the book. So Moses lead the children of Israel from Benjamin tribe, and a lot of men, all the scripture them that I give you, their names are there. David, they are from the Benjamin tribe. And the tribe grew, but Benjamin chose a smaller land, and he settled that down there. And if you read, if we read Isaiah, it tells us when he go out and when he captured the people or when he captured the land, he don't take it for himself. He share it amongst all the brethren and all his brother. And his brother before Benjamin is awesome. He's really awesome. But I take Benjamin. Look, all right, let's read what it says here. The color stone for Benjamin is amethyst and purple. The family, 12. Son of Jacob, born of Rachel, named him Ben-Hur-Son, and a son of my sorrows. As she was dying, in childbirth, but Jacob renamed him Benjamin, son of the right hand, which indicates favored son. And it said, I, the Lord, will strengthen you. And remember, his mother died. He don't know a mother, for she died in childbirth. So here the Lord is telling him now that I, the Lord, will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. That is Isaiah 41 and the 10th verse. Did I read it? No. I read it already? Okay. All right. So now, let's see what it says up here now. Let I go down to Jake, not the Moses. No. We're going down to find Benjamin. All right. Noble. That is Benjamin. In Egypt, Joseph tested his brother by saying that he would keep Benjamin as his slave. When Judea pleaded with Joseph not to despise his father of Benjamin, or displease one of them, not to despise Benjamin of his father, Joseph was moved to reveal his true identity. That is Joseph, and because they remember they are one mother, and he is one his brother. In the era of Judges, a civil war obliterated.
Obliterated
the tribe of Benjamin. That even wiped them, nearly wiped him out, right? Yeah. King Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. You have 1 Samuel 9:1-2. After Saul's death, the tribe fought against David for control of the kingdom, but eventually sided with David. All right. Jeremiah was the tribe of Benjamin. Mordecai was the tribe of Benjamin. The Apostle Paul was the tribe of Benjamin. So Jeremiah first and the first verse. East two and the fifth verse. Philippians 3 and the 35th. They were all the tribes that fought with Benjamin, including Moses, who they take the children them out of Israel and take the children them to the promised land. Remember Moses take the children them to the promised land? Moses was the tribe of Benjamin. Mordecai, the Apostle Paul, were from the tribe of Benjamin. So all these powerful men of God came from Benjamin. And there is a lot more of Benjamin in here. In the book of Revelation, you have down at the bottom, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John renounced his vision of 144,000 people, 12,000 from each of the tribe, sealed with the seal named in Revelation 7, and 14 and 1. In his list, John leaves out of Dan, Ephraim, but included Joseph, the Messiah. This list is different than any other biblical list of the tribe. For instance, the list in Ezekiel 47 and the 48th verse includes all the tribes who was given portion of the land when the Israelites entered the promised land. John, usually listing the tribes, leads some Bible soldiers to suggest that the 144,000 repent of the believers instead of the list of the L-I-T-E-R-R-E-L, literal number of Jewish believers. See James 1:1. All right, let's turn to James 1:1 and hear what it said. I only going to read the first verse. I just giving you the chapter again, because right through the Bible, to me, right through the Bible, God did wonders in this man's sons. He gave all these men's sons the land, but they has to fight for the land. They don't just get. So anything God give us, we have to fight for it. We don't hear and feel sorry for ourselves. No, we have to fight in the name of Jesus for everything that we get. And I can tell you, and I never know when I was fighting even coming to embassy, that I was fighting to come to America. I never know. But you have to fight with the truth. Because the Lord said, if you have the truth, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's our God. So those are promises from the Father to us. James 1:1, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the tribes, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when ye shall fall in diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have his perfect work, that ye may be protected and enticed, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberty, and upbraideth not, and upbraideth not. I just want to know it is right, and it shall be given him. But let you ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. Let the brother of a low degree rejoice that he is exalted. I'm going to stop at the next verse. The rich is that he is made low because of the flower, flower of the grass shall pass away. And he go on and on encouraging every, not only his brethren, not only those of his father, but every one of us that serve God. He sit down and he encourage us. And if we don't care what we what is in us or what befalling us, God never leave us. Because why? He promised. He said he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He said he's a God. So you just go back and remind him of his word. He said remind him. God, here you go. Because when he touched Benjamin and his brother of one mother, it's awesome.
Okay, so actually Jacob had two wives and two handmaidens.
Yes.
Yes. So all those 12, and actually there was a daughter born.
Diana,
yeah, daughter. She's the only girl?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
She was Leah's daughter.
Leah's daughter, yeah.
And
Rachel, the two sons, were the last two sons.
Yes.
Joseph and Benjamin.
Yes, and she, the mother, died in childbirth when she was having Benjamin. She dies in childbirth.
Now
and I then.
Correct you with Moses from the tribe of Levi.
Yeah, yes, Levi. But Moses was from Levi.
Exodus 2.
Oh.
Look at that, you see, he was from the tribe of Levi.
Okay.
That's why Aaron was, being his brother, was from the tribe of Levi, and they were. The high priest or whatever you
want to
call
them. So why did they have it? Okay. But what I look into all these men, all the tribe of the father, they were blessed by God. They were sent by God to do a job. Right?
Remember Abraham?
Mm-hmm.
God told Abraham to count the stars in the sky.
Mm-hmm. I read that last night.
That's how big his family was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Much stars that was in the sky. So that covenant went down. Then you had the Isaac covenant. Then you had the Jacob covenant.
What?
Because God didn't destroy the covenant.
No. The covenant is unto Revelation. But that's where the covenant starts, at Revelation. And how can you count the stars in the sky? Some of them bunch up together. I would tell him like this, Lord, some of them bunch up together. I can't count that.
That's right. Blessings overtake me.
Yes.
He said, count the sand. How do you count the sand?
Well, I'm gonna wrap this up with very quickly, because I know that we need to do that. I'm going to wrap this up very quickly with a conclusion. But, I don't know what you might have picked up come away with from studying this, but what blessed me is that even though it started out as a negative thing by his wife saying, son of my soul, his father stepped in.
Yes.
And that's a good picture of our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
But even though in the natural, people might say this or that about you, your Heavenly Father can puts a blessing on us. And you think about these strong men, the son of my right hand, think of all the strong men that came from that tribe of Apostle Paul. You know, what a strong man he was, born of the stock of Benjamin. He said, 8 days circumcised, but I count all that dung that I might know Christ.
Yes.
I'm going to wrap this up for us, and then this is going to be very brief. I promise it's going to be very brief. Yes, go ahead. One more comment.
I think it's in Revelation. When you say,
change
our name, give us a new name.
A new name. Amen.
Yes. That will make a change in the second coming.
Amen.
In the second coming. We all have new names. All those who are in Christ. Right? Okay.
Amen. Right. Amen. This is all good. We can learn something from all of this. Conclusion of the blessings of Jacob. Conclusion, okay? Joshua... The next phase we see that Joshua was commissioned by God to take his people to the promised land, right?
Yes.
My exhortation for us this week is to read the book of Joshua. I am not going to take time to do this today or point out even scripture references. I'm just going to give you chapters. Be a good student. Go and look it up. But God put a calling on all these 12 tribes to do something. They had
yes.
an important part, just like we do, just like the 12 disciples had an important part in the kingdom of God in spreading the message. So we, for this time in our life, we have a purpose. We were ordained by God for a purpose when He put us here on the earth. And we can learn this from the book of some lessons from the book of Joshua when we study the tribes, okay? 3 points I want to bring out here. The conquest under Joshua is recorded in Joshua chapters 1 through 12. And then in 13 through 24, how God distributes the land. How He gives that land proportion, okay? So the three episodes in this conquest that we can learn from today, and I'm going to hit on these briefly. These are important, y'all. These are important. Jericho, that's chapter 5, verse 13 through chapter 6, verse 27. Read the whole book of Joshua. It's only 24 chapters. Okay. Jericho was a great victory, right? It's a great victory. No doubt about it. A great victory. Ai, chapter 5 and 8, was a great defeat.
Mm-hmm.
First time around. Ai actually means ruin, which indicates that this is nothing. And that's how they enter this. Oh, this is not a big deal.
Uh-huh.
This is nothing. Be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful of those. This is nothing.
Yeah.
This is not a big deal. Okay, Israel was defeated, but the Lord gave them a second chance. They went back the second chance, and He gave them the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now the third episode in Joshua. Now I want you to read this and study out, since you're studying about the tribes. This is the conclusion of this. There was a forbidden alliance that took place. Come out from the world and be ye separate. Do not yoke. What fellowship does light have with darkness?
Yes.
None. Or God with Baal? None. Okay? After these three episodes, the Canaanite city kings, after they went through these three things, even the Canaanite, the kings of the city of Canaanite, despite being at odds with each other, they rallied together to come against God's people. Selah.
Yeah.
Here these kings were mortal enemies,
mm-hmm.
but they made buddied up to come against God's people. But even though that happened, and they took the open battlefield, but the Israelites, with God's help, defeated both of those coalitions.
Uh-huh.
There was two coalitions, two groups of them formed. Lessons we can learn. Okay? So far, Israel had learned in the book of Joshua that they could defeat the strongest city if they allowed God to lead them and follow His instructions.
Yes.
That's lesson number one. But the weakest city beat them because they were disobedient to God. And the next lesson we can learn from this is with the Jebusites, Joshua learned to seek God beforehand. Seek God beforehand.
Amen.
You make a decision.
Yes. Amen.
Because the decision you make not only affects your life, but it will affect the life of others.
Yes.
With the Gibeonites, they were deceived. Joshua, mighty man of God, was deceived by the Gibeonites. Okay, because he did not seek God beforehand, and the people suffered for it. So we're wrapping this up in our study. I want to encourage you this week to read the book of Joshua. I'm going to pronounce a blessing over you, and then we are going to...
Can I say one thing?
Sure. Yes, ma'am.
I remember.
Yes, ma'am.
God gave the tribe of Israel 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God gave His Son 12.
Yes.
12 disciples, because when His Son said to Him, I have chosen none. My Father gave them to me.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something about that 12.
Yes, it means the government of God. The 12 is the government of God, the authority of God. Yes, it's the order God has set in. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen, that's good. Good point. Okay, I'm going to try to do the Hebrew emblem as I bless you. I can't promise you my fingers kind of all move in the same way, but this is the emblem of I'm going to bless you. Amen. The Lord bless you. May Yahweh, He who exists, kneel before you, presenting gifts, and keep you. May Yahweh, who exists, guard you with a hedge of thorn protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming you. May He protect your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. May Yahweh, who exists, illuminate the wholeness of His being toward you, continually bringing order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose. May He be gracious to you. May Yahweh, He who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you and giving you sustenance, provisions, and friendship. May Yahweh, who exists, lift up His countenance upon you, the wholeness of His being toward you, bringing everything that He is to your side, to your aid, supporting you with His entire being, and give you peace. May Yahweh, who exists, set in place all you need to be whole, complete, so that you can walk in victory moment by moment by the power of Holy Spirit. May He give you supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord. In Jesus' name, amen.